Listen, I had a great time on yesterday at the men's retreat. I just appreciate Gary. I appreciate especially William Hamilton, who was part of the leadership that extended to me the invitation. I had a great time. We were at a great place. Houston's a beautiful area, and I always enjoy coming to Houston. To the elders and leaders, thank you for having sufficient confidence in this servant to have invited me to be a part of what you are doing this week. As they said, I'll be with you through Wednesday, and I look forward to it. I want you to read this text with me. When you preach, you ought to have a text, and you ought to read it well. And so I'm going to ask you to just read it with me, or let me share it with you. Also, you'll get used to me. I like to move around. That's why I'm glad I have this mic on that I can just do like I want to do. All right? Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 through 8. Let me read it, and then we'll talk about it. I like the language, the poetic language, while it's a little bit archaic, but I like the King James version of this, and we'll talk about some of the words. I want to dedicate this to those who keep the sacred appointment every Sunday morning. And we come here, as the brother said in the prayer, we come here oft times burdened down by what life has dealt us. I'm not getting much help here. We come full of trials and tribulations, concerned about matters that sometimes really don't matter. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And yet we come. Yet we are here. And we come to find out if there is a word from the Lord that will deal with my contemporary circumstances. And so I dedicate what I'm going to share, what I'm going to preach to you. Now, having said that, anybody like stories? Okay. Some of you, the older ones, help me, older ones. We like stories. I have a story, and no, it's not scandal, but I have a story. My story goes. Somebody said thank you. My story goes way back. I've been watching this particular story since Nikki was real young. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to stop watching it if they ever take Victor off of it. But yeah, some of y'all know. And those of you who say I don't have a story, amen. You like stories. That's why some of them have such high ratings. But stories, sometimes we identify with the people in the stories, and we remember stories. Some of us can tell you more about a story than we can about. And so, I like stories, and so there's a favorite person of mine by the name of Jesus the Christ. And his primary teaching method was to tell stories. They are called parables. And we're going to look at a parable this morning. And then all week, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, where there are 8 parables in that one chapter, 7 of which began with the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we're going to be talking about a kingdom agenda. And I believe it will bode well with your theme and with what the leaders are encouraging us to do. Okay? But this morning, for the brevity of time, let's look at a story that's found in Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. It starts off like this from the King James translation. Which of you shall have a friend? Anybody need a friend this morning? Which of you shall have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Are y'all reading this? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and basically he's saying, I'm embarrassed because I have nothing to set before him. Your friend answers from inside and says, trouble me not. The doors are now shut, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, he will not rise and give him out of friendship or because he is his friend, yet because, and I like the King James translation here because there is a word that they use. It's the word importunity. He doesn't rise out of friendship, but because of the man's importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Amen. Y'all see that? If you're reading the NIV, as was read this morning, when you get to he does not rise out of friendship, yet because of his, King James, importunity, NIV, I think, says persistence. If you're reading another more modern translation, it will have a different word. But he does not rise out of friendship, but he rises because of importunity. The original word, or the Greek word in that language, was the word anadia. Everybody say anadia. Come on, I know it's Greek, but just anadia, everybody. Anadia. He rises out of anadia. All right. Now, let's take a look at the story, all right? Again, this is couched in Middle Eastern culture. Remember that the Bible was not written in your language. It was not written in your culture. It was not written in your historical setting, and was not written in your geographical area. So what a teacher does, and I believe that good preaching is just really good teaching. And so what a teacher does, he's a bridge that takes you out of Houston. And don't nobody leave, but he takes you out of Houston and helps you bridge over to the land of the Bible. And when we get there, we mine for these jewels, these awesome concepts and principles that we load up with and then come back over to Houston and apply them to what's going on in your life. All right? And I hope that y'all following me? All right. So let's leave Houston and go back over to the Middle East. And we find there that Jesus, if you put this story in its context, you go back to the beginning of the chapter, we find Jesus knelt down in prayer. That must have been an awesome sight. Old folk used to say, if Jesus had to pray, help me somebody. If Jesus had to pray, what about me? The apostles come in, they find him praying. They don't stop him. They wait until he's finished. I don't know how many of you had this. I grew up, I'm one of six children five sisters, and thank God I'm the oldest. And but Mom and Daddy had a rule. This is back during the time that parents had rules in their house. And one of the rules was, if Mama's door is closed, thank you, man, thank you. Yeah, you don't just barge in. Well, one day, I will never forget this. I was getting ready for school, and I don't know, I needed Mama to do something with my clothes or something. But anyway, Mama's door closed, but I just barged in, and Mom was talking to somebody on her knees. And I remember how it affected me. I didn't see anybody else in the room. And when Mom got up, her face was wet with tears. I didn't understand it then, but later I realized Mama was praying. Mama taught me that you can cry and pray at the same time. If you ever run across somebody that really knows how to pray, and you ask them, "How did you learn how to pray like that?" and they likely will tell you, "Pain taught me how to pray. Trials taught me how to pray. Heartbreak. I don't know who I'm talking to. Taught me how to pray." And you learn that prayers don't have to be long prayers. Amen, somebody. And you don't have to put on your best God voice. Come on, you know how we do. To the God of Abraham. I learned that a prayer can be short. Sometimes it's just, "Lord, have mercy." Yeah. "God, come quickly." Some of you are aware that I have fun with this. So, you know, if I take too long, somebody wave your hand or something. But I remember. Some of you know about my son. Dolly and I have a son who is a quadriplegic because of a motorcycle accident. But I remember when he was in the hospital, we didn't know whether he was going to live or die. He was close to 6 months in the hospital, much of that in ICU, in a medically induced coma. And I learned how to pray. Amen. Oh, come on, y'all. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't try to fool me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I learned you can have a certain time to pray. Mine was 3 o'clock in the morning. That was about the time I had grown weary with hearing my wife cry herself to sleep. And I'd get up. Phone don't ring in my house at 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't nobody knock on the door at... Here's what I'm trying to create. Just kind of, I know you can't move these seats, but just gather around, okay? And listen to an old man talk to you and tell you the story. I learned that sometime when I would get up, there's a special place in my bedroom that I go, I sit on the couch, and I would just talk to God. And many times the prayer was as simple as, "Lord, have mercy upon my family." Can you imagine Jesus? Do I have you here with me? Can you imagine Jesus knelt down praying, his disciples come in, and I imagine one of them saying, wait. The master is praying. when he finishes, they come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. See, many of us think because we've been around a long time that we know how to pray. Somebody today is saying, well, man, I know how to pray. And even if you know how to pray, if Jesus is going to respond to the request, Lord, teach us to pray, we might ought to listen to what he's got to talk about. Is that right? Does that make sense? Lord, teach us to pray. In fact, they said John taught his disciples. Prayer is not something that you know how to do by osmosis. Many times we don't get what we ask for because we don't know how to pray. Lord, y'all got time for this? Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus does two things. First, he gives them a model prayer. Many of us, this is the first prayer we ever learned to pray. You know the model prayer. Our Father, come on, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Our, and forgive us our, as we forgive those who, and lead us not into temptation, but to, for thine is the kingdom. Beautiful doxology. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. So he gives them a model prayer. Now, that's not really the Lord's prayer. If you want to read the Lord's prayer, you go over to John 17. But this is a model prayer. And then he does a second thing, and that is he tells them a story. Okay? So this story, I call it The Friend at Midnight. It's really about how God responds to us when we pray. All right? Now, once again then, let's listen to the story. Which of you shall have a friend? And you go to him at midnight. You say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, your friend answers and says, trouble me not. Doors are now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. I say to you, he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Yet because of his importunity, because of his anadia, very good. Okay, this side did good. Now, because of his anadia, he will rise and not just give him 3 loaves, but he'll give him as many as he needs. Now, so we got the story firmly entrenched in our minds. What is it, God, that you want us to learn from the story? All right? The beginning of the story holds a wonderful key to understanding it. Which of you shall have is the way it starts. And because, again, of the brevity of time, I'll maybe do a little more later on. But which of you shall have is best translated, can you imagine? Now, let's plug that in and see how this works. Can you imagine having a friend? And you go to that friend at an inconvenient time. There's a reason that he has the friend going to him at midnight. Midnight is an inconvenient time. What are you wanting to teach us, Jesus? I'm wanting to teach you that you can go to God when you can't go to anybody else. Isn't somebody glad about that? See, it can get too late to call the elders in Oklahoma. Y'all must pray for us in Oklahoma. It can get too late to call your neighbor, to call this one or that one. But aren't you glad that God neither slumbers nor sleeps? Amen. In fact, there's a real interesting thing that happens here. He says, can you imagine having a friend? You go to him at midnight, you say, lend me 3 loaves for a friend of mine in his journey. Can you imagine him saying, can you imagine him turning you away with frivolous excuses about doors being shut, about children being in bed, about not being able to get up and get? That's not a friend. Amen. Amen. And a person in the Middle East hearing this story would say, no, I cannot imagine. It is unimaginable that you could go to your friend and ask him for 3 loaves, not even for yourself, but for somebody else, and hear him turn you away with frivolous excuses. Well, what are you teaching me? I'm teaching you that God is a friend that I can go to even at midnight, and he will not turn me away with frivolous excuses. I don't know about you, but that blesses me. When I can't go to anybody else, I can go to God. When it's too late to bother somebody, I can go to God. And somebody in the audience to the side, somebody I would imagine understands that it seems like your burdens come to you at night and keep you awake, where you can't sleep, robs you of your sleep. If you got a pain, it's going to be a worse pain at night. Well, anyway, y'all gonna help me over here? Yeah. So in the story, you have this friend going to his friend at midnight. Now, where we get in trouble right here is, well, Crenshaw, you say God is a friend and he can, and even at midnight. Well, in the story, the man says, trouble me not. The doors are now shut. I usually have a lot of fun with people. I'll ask. Now, the man asking for bread is one that we can identify with. But who is the man in the house? Well, time for me to go back over here. Who is the man in the house? Because if you say he's God, well, he answers, trouble me not. Why y'all looking at me like that? The doors are now shut and my children are in bed. That's the reason that the beginning of the parable is important, because he's really saying it would be unimaginable.
I see it.
That you could go to your friend and he turn you away like that. If they wouldn't do it in the Middle East, don't you know God? Don't you know God is a friend? What a friend I have in Jesus. See, and when you don't know how to pray, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry. I'm so glad I don't know what to do, that God is a friend. And it would be unimaginable when I go to him at midnight, they could turn me away. Okay, so that's point number one. Point number two. It's interesting that he asked for bread. So the first point I want you to learn is you can go to God even at midnight. It would be unimaginable that he would turn you away with excuses about doors being shut and children being in bed. Frivolous excuses. You know, if your friend did that here in Houston, you want to say, well, man, get up. And your kids will go back to sleep. Come on, y'all. I'm in need here. And so God wouldn't do that. But number two, the man asked for bread. When you go to God, ask for that which is essential. Don't ask for frivolous things, you know. We'll go to God and say, Lord, pay my light bill. And I can imagine the Lord saying, duh. What we need to be praying is, Lord, give me a job. Amen, somebody. Let me do right with my money, and I'll pay my own light bill. You don't go to the master of the universe and ask him to pay. Amen, somebody. When you go to God, ask for that which is essential. How much time I got? Am I all right? Okay. Go to him about that which is essential. He asked him for bread. Now, let me share something with you. Bread was the essential element of the meal. People in the Middle East did not eat in ancient times, did not eat like we eat. They didn't use a knife and a fork all the time. The way they would eat is they would set a common dish on the table. And everybody would have a loaf. Now, this is not a loaf. What kind of bread y'all eat? Baird's. This is not, it's Mrs. Baird's, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It's not Mrs. Baird's, not Wonder Bread or whatever you eat. This would be more like, anybody here from the country? Yeah, right. Anybody old enough to remember what a hoe cake is? Get out of here. You know what Big Mama used to make them, you know? Boy, and I tell you, man, you break one. Okay, for the young people, it would be like a big biscuit. And you break it open and put some butter in it. I better leave this alone because some of y'all didn't eat breakfast. But they would take that loaf, break from the loaf, and do something in the country we call sock. Some of y'all act like y'all really know what that's about, man. You would sock in the dish, and you know, put some syrup in the dish or some sorghum. Amen. And you didn't need a knife and a fork. All you needed was your and you sop in the dish. Now he asked for bread. If you didn't have any bread, you didn't have anything to sop with. So bread was the essential element of the meal. Without bread, no meal. Y'all see that? That's what Jesus meant when he said, I am the bread of life. I'm what's essential in life. Without bread, no meal. Without Jesus, no life. It is in him that we live and move and have our very being. Amen. 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 So when you go to God, ask him for that which is essential. All right? And then, last point. The man does not get up and give him out of friendship. Wow. You know, what that suggests is that God doesn't answer you because you and God are such good friends. You know, there are folk, we've perpetrated a theology where folks say, man, I need you to pray for me, suggesting that I can't pray for myself. Man, you can pray for yourself. Amen.
That's right.
Because God is a friend. Go back to point one. Because God is a friend that I can go to at an inconvenient time.
Amen.
And he'll not turn me away with frivolous excuses. When I go to him, I need to go to him about that which is essential. And then I can trust that he does not get up and give me out of friendship. Well, then what happens? Well, the word anadia is a word that literally means the avoidance of shame. Glory, hallelujah. God will not be made to be ashamed about how he leads you. David said it like this: the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to him. I shall not. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. Listen to this. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. I can depend on my shepherd to always lead me right. Why? Why can I depend on him to always lead me right? Because he says, for his namesake. His name is on the line. What kind of shepherd would he be? And he's not going to be made to be ashamed in how he takes care of you. Is this helping anybody? Let me tell you something else I learned from this. See, hospitality was legendary in the Middle East. If somebody came to your house, you had to offer him something, and he had to eat. Y'all not looking right, so. My daddy had three sisters, and one of them was Aunt Evelyn. Aunt Evelyn lived in San Francisco, California. And every couple of years, Daddy would load all six kids up in his Ford. And we would drive from Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I grew up, all the way to San Francisco. And Daddy would drive straight through. Now, those of you who are older understands what that means and why. I'm a child of the 60s. Daddy drives straight through. That's back when, you know, mama would fry chicken and stuff before you left on a long trip and put it in a Tupperware. Come on, somebody. And put light bread in there. Y'all know, and by the time you got ready to eat it, the light bread, I wish I had a church. But we would drive straight through. And we'd get to Aunt Evelyn's house at some unbelievable time, ungodly time. We called it 4 day in the morning. Come on, somebody. Yeah, 4 day in the morning. But it didn't make any difference what time we got there. My auntie would get up out of her bed, wash her face and hands, and head to the kitchen. And in just a little while, you'd hear coffee. That's back when it would percolate. Percolating, yeah, and it was that coffee you could smell, and you'd hear bacon frying and biscuits being made, and oh, I'd like to go to let me tell you, see, my daddy has six children. He was a proud man. You didn't go to somebody's house like you hungry. He'd tell mama, he'd say, like, baby, feed these children before they go. He don't want you going to somebody's house asking for something. Amen, somebody. In fact, my grandmother used to make these big, I call them big cookies. And she'd make them just for me. I was the first grandchild. She'd make them for me, and we'd go to Big Mama's house. Somebody got a Big Mama? Come on, Big Mama and them. You know? Yeah, we'd go there. Big Mama say, "Boy, you want a cookie?" I had to look at my daddy to see if I wanted a cookie. So But Aunt Evelyn was older than my daddy. So when we went to Aunt Evelyn's house, daddy better not say anything. Come on, somebody. Aunt Evelyn would say, let that boy eat. Yeah. And you know how to get a good cook to cook? Any good cooks in here? The way you get a good cook to cook, that first bite of that food, man, you say, And a good cook will say, want some more? Well, that's why I love to go to Aunt Evelyn's house. Man, and it would be unimaginable to go to Aunt Evelyn's house and she not offer you something to eat. And the more you ate, the more she appreciated it. God is a friend. I can go to him even at midnight. He'll not turn me away. Ask for that which is essential. And God won't be shamed about how he treats you. The man gets up out of his anadia. He's going to avoid shame. I don't know Gary very well, but I would imagine, and I'm getting ready to go to my seat. Y'all do a invitation. you do it with a song. After this, in a few minutes, then we're gonna have a song, right? As soon as I land this plane. You know. Song leader, where's the song leader? Man, you don't mind, come on up here and act like you're getting ready to sing. Yeah. Man, you do a good job, too. I appreciate it. This is so they will fasten their seatbelts and know I'm getting ready to land, okay? Now, come on up here, man. Come on. God bless you, man. Just stand up here with me. Yeah. He's getting ready to sing, y'all. Let me tell you why the Lord gets up to avoid shame. I don't know Gary that well, but he's my brother. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes. Sir.
And he loves me.
Yes, sir.
You know, say amen so they can hear you, man. Yeah. You all bought me a ticket on American Airlines because that's how I roll. Thank you. But if I had driven and I had Dolly with me and a couple of my grandkids, because you know my children don't ride with me much anymore. But grandkids, they love being with Papa. Come on, grandparents, yeah. So let's see, now how would I come into Houston on 45? 45. I'm on 45, and it's midnight. And the car breaks down.
45.
On 45. Man, thank you for helping me, man. Yeah. Car breaks down. I got Dolly and my grandkids. And I called him. Now, let's tell the truth. Y'all come in. Does he want to get up?
No.
Thank y'all. Well, y'all are honest audience. Does he want to get up?
No.
No, but he will. Yes, he will.
Yes.
You know why? Y'all come in. Because he knows that if he doesn't come get me, if I ever... wish I had a church. If I ever get off of 45, I'm going to tell, I'm calling everybody that he knows. I'm calling the elders. Brother Smith, where are you, Brother Smith? Huh? Okay. Second, sir. I was sitting at the table with Smith yesterday and told me his story. I'm calling him. I'm calling every preacher in Houston. I'm calling John Tillman. I'm calling Glenn Melton. I know a bunch of them. I'm calling all of them and tell them what Gary did. So he's thinking that while he's wishing. I wish Crenshaw hadn't called me and woke me up. But he will get up and come get me, not out of friendship. He gets up not because of who I am, but because of who he is. God will answer you not because of who you are. It's because of who God is. And I can trust him to be a friend. Well, that's, you know, that's the story. Thank y'all for working through the information with me. But now, if you want a friend like that, you can have it. Anybody need a friend?
Yes.
Anybody need to say, what a friend I have in Jesus. All my and griefs to bear. Thank you, Lord. That's right. That's right. Somebody in this audience needs a friend. You come on, Jesus. You come on to Jesus. Come to him by faith.
Yes.
As a repentant believer, confess him to be the Christ.
Yes.
Complete your obedience by being baptized in water for the remission of your sins.
Yes,
Jesus will add you to the church. One of the words that's used to give you the imagery is possession. He'll take possession of you. That's why once you're in Christ, you're not your own. Amen. You've been bought with a price. Come on to Jesus. You're among friends. Is that right, Fifth Wall? You're among people that care about you. You'll have no greater time to come to Jesus than right now. Why don't you do it right now while we stand together, while we sing?
What a friend we have in Jesus, and all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry. And everything to God in prayer, and we sing hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, and we sing.
Make the plea and finish it.
Now he loves.